Hello, everybody. This is your official Talks at the Cross, the official podcast of the Cross Point Church. We're very happy for you to be able to use this platform to go ahead and reach out to all of you. I want to thank you for liking, sharing, and supporting, and for your prayers, most of all. Today, we're very happy and asking prayers for Aaron, who usually leads this podcast, but today his voice is a little harsh, so we are honored to have Gilbert the third. Tell us, Gilbert, a little bit about yourself, how you feel.
Yeah, I'm happy to be on this. You know, like I said, I asked prayers for my brother Aaron. He's a little under the weather, but I'm happy to be on this, and I hope I ask you to open your heart today. You know, God has a special word for you.
So today's theme, we've been talking about hearing God's voice, God's timing, but today I think we're going to talk about a theme that is so, prevalent. It's so, I can say actually right now is probably one of the hottest topics all over the world and also in the Christian realm. And we're going to talk a little bit about mental health. And mental health is an issue that for many years had been swept under the rug, especially in the church. You know, it was a taboo. Nobody wanted to talk about, you know, when you talk about mental health, the first thing that comes to your mind is you're crazy. And nobody likes to talk about craziness.
We only like to talk about the good topics, but this is kind of a topic that's avoided, but it really needs to be discussed. You know, earlier today we were attending a church, and the pastor was talking about that, and he's doing a series about it. So can you?
Yeah, so I think the church is waking up to the reality that we do need to address it. Now, when we refer to mental health, and you know, what many people have a wrong conception. They believe that anybody that has a mental health issue, first thing that comes to their mind, they're either demon possessed or they're being demon oppressed. And right away, we try to blame the devil for a lot of these, hang-ups and a lot of these psychological and emotional. But if we go to the Bible, we find out that it's not really a taboo in the Bible. And, I think one of the things that we do need to address, that mental health can affect anybody. And you know, we see in the Bible that it affected the prophet Elijah. We see that, the roof was affected by it. King Solomon, King David. Now, wait a minute, Pastor, Bishop, now you're telling me that, you know, these great men of God had mental health issues? And you know, now we're throwing down the theology that a lot of old timers, you know, we need to understand. And this is why I've said so many times, the Bible tells us clearly, because of the lack of knowledge, my people perish. There's been a lot of taboo. You know, we can see the prophet Elijah, right after he had a great victory on Mount Carmel, he goes and he hides in the cave and he wants to die. You know, I'd rather be dead. That's a mental health issue. That's a suicidal thought. And somebody's listening to me right now that says, well, if the prophet Elijah had just defeated 450 prophets and God had just used him, and then in 3 days he's in depression? Hello? We need to address this. Now, just because you have mental health issues does not mean that, like I said, you're demon possessed. It doesn't mean that you don't have punctuality. It doesn't mean you're abnormal. It doesn't mean, you know, it means that you have an issue that you got to deal. One of the greatest things that, you know, I think when we talk about mental health, there's so many different levels of mental health. And I think, mental health can affect a young man, can affect a boy, can affect, children. Newborns have issues already that are being detected. We have in the psychology and psychiatry medical fields, we have specialists that, you know, I do what we call autism evaluations, the autism spectrum. Without getting too technical, you know, we deal with that. So we know that it does exist. Now, the church, the body of Christ, the believers. Now, gee, what do you think is the reason that so many people don't want to deal with it?
Pride as well. They don't want to put their business out there. You know, they're dealing with a lot, you know, daily struggle. And I think sometimes they're just, you know, who's looking or who's going to know that I'm going through this, you know?
And you know, one of the greatest things that I think the Bible has an answer, but like going back to one of my philosophies, we I call it the ostrich thing. Just because you stick your hand in the sand doesn't mean it's going to go away. And addressing it, you know, there's people that they have to deal with, you know, the multiple personality disorder. They had to deal with the schizophrenia. They had to deal with psychosis, neurosis. And, you know, it is a sad thing that, you know, a lot of people that don't have any kind of preparation, you know, don't know that, you know, God has made us a very complex being. You know, God has made us body, soul, and spirit. And with that being said, when we talk about mental health, it affects all three parts of our lives, of our human existence. You know, if you're not well physically, it's going to affect you, you know, your spiritually, and it's going to affect you emotionally. And, you know, we heard that sometimes, you know, a lot of people have sicknesses that are not, you know, related to anything else, but, you know, by lack of nourishment, lack of, you know, taking care of their bodies. And what do you think is the reason that so many people can talk about the love of God, could talk about miracles, signs, and wonders, and could talk about our Christian responsibility, but when somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I feel like killing myself, they don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, they don't want to alert the congregation or the church, you know, and we want everything to be red, you know, like roses are red, kind of, and the sky is blue. We don't want to deal with that. The other stuff, you know, the real stuff.
And you know, the Bible says that God came to seek that which was lost, that which was, you know, lost. God came to save and seek and save those who were lost. And there's another scripture in the Bible that says that God chose the lowest, the vile, the you know, the scum of the earth to be able to demonstrate. And there's a scripture that says that God, the well don't need a doctor, the sick need a doctor. And now mental health is considered like any other disease. The Center for Control of Diseases in the medical field, mental health is just considered like any other kind of chronic disease. And, you know, they have medications in the psychiatry field. In the psychology field, you have counseling. And yet, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, if somebody has mental health, that means he has no faith. What do you think about that, DG?
Able to come and talk, you know, to your pastor or a friend, you know, always ask for help, you know, it's probably hard if you're going through that, you know, you don't want to open up, you know, you're embarrassed or, you know, what are they going to think about me, you know, I'm going through this or I'm having these thoughts or, you know, I'm crazy, you know, maybe you need to ask for God's help, but you also need to see a doctor, a specialist, you know, to get you some kind of help.
And you know, I can share with you, you know, the first time when I was in Bible school and we were studying psychology or Christian counseling, and our professor blew my theology to the floor when he said, we started out the class in psychology, Christian psychology, and he says, I want to make a disclaimer, and I want to say a prayer, and this is the way he said it. I want us to pray to the greatest psychologist that ever existed, Jesus Christ. And I mean, we were about 30 first year Bible school students. We all looked at each other and say, you know, the professor lost it, or, you know, he's not Christian, or why is he saying this? And, you know, after he finished praying, he just smiled at us because he knew we were all doubting what he had said. So the first statement that came out of his mouth, he goes, I know that a lot of you are saying, why did I say that? And he said to us, I want to use the Bible to answer that question. And first he said, it is a proven fact that low self-esteem is a neurosis that can lead to a psychosis. And the root of all neuroses, all psychological, all emotional, all mental health issues is the lack of self-esteem. And Jesus Christ says, you got to love your neighbor as you love thyself. So that was where he destroyed everything. Because all psychologists tell you, you know, you need to take care of yourself. And Jesus is saying, you gotta, before you can love your neighbor, you gotta love thyself. And this is where I think so many pastors would benefit from understanding that psychology is not diabolic. Psychology or Christian counseling is not against the Bible. On the contrary, a lot of biblical principles that are used in counseling with Bible backing them up will give the person that needs the counseling a solution to their mental health issues. Now, when we talk about this, like I said, we only got a few minutes. We're going to be scratching the surface. There's, you know, depression. There's a neurosis is a person that is being affected by mental health issues, but can still function. What we call in the normal realm, you know, gets up, eats, goes to work, can function to a certain extreme of normal, being normal. But a psychosis is when the person now it goes to a level where he becomes dysfunctional. And this is where we need to understand this, because there's issues that need to be addressed. And sometimes it's not only about going and praying. It's like you said, G, you have to learn to talk. And you have to go and talk to somebody. You have to share that. And the Bible tells us, you know, sure, we got to talk to him first. But we also got to learn, this is why fellowship, that's why communion, that's why in the body of Christ. But it's sad to say that so many people that have mental health issues are immediately marginated, immediately stereotyped, immediately considered, oh, you know, that sister is crazy, you know, just because she has mental health issues, which totally is wrong. That person has the same value to God that somebody that, like I say, the prophet Elijah had just had a great victory, and yet he needed mental health. He needed help. He was tired. He was exhausted. He was in a cave. He wanted to die. He was isolated. That's what mental health issues will take you to a point where you don't want nobody around you. Depression will take you where you don't want to even get out of your bed. It will lead you to make wrong decisions. Mental health issues will lead you also to hurt others, unintentionally and intentionally, by words, by actions. You become bipolar. One day you're loving, the next day you're the devil. You know, these issues, and I'm addressing that because there's some people listening that have that hidden in the closet, and they have this. Nobody knows about that dark side of their life, and they don't want nobody to know about it because they figure that would bring down their level of respect. But you know, if you look at it, even Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, felt forsaken, felt alone. When he said, Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me? The human part of Jesus, being God manifested in the flesh, was feeling alone. Majority of mental health issues is when a person feels that he or she is alone. Nobody understands them. Nobody can help them. Nobody were. If I told this person what I'm thinking, they're not going to think good of me. And you know, it's sad, G, that you know, you were born in Spain, and God has blessed us to live in Europe and travel to different continents, different countries of the world. You've done a lot of travels with me. And the bottom element is the human, no matter where he's at, he could be poor and be happy, or he could be rich and be unhappy. And this is why we say that so many times we hear that cliche, money is not happiness. But, you know, a lot of us have said, well, it might not make you happy, but it'll help a little bit. But it's not, you know, all humor aside, you know, I got to go to some of the slums in Africa where there was lack of food. You know, there was poverty in other countries where I visited where there had been poverty. But yet I saw people happy. So mental health main objective sometimes is to rob us of the happiness, of the joy that God wants us to have as his children, as his human creation. And so, gee, I want to address something that a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships, a lot of families deal. So many people have always said, oh, just pray about it. How do you feel about that, G? What do you think is when a pastor just tells you to pray about it? What's he?
I think, like you said, it's just like a band-aid. You know, you cover up, you get a scrape, you're going to put a band-aid, a quick fix, you know? It's like, you know, those places where you go and get an oil change, a quick 5-minute, a quick job, you know? But there's more to it. I mean, there's more to the story. You can't, I mean, prayer is good, but it's not everything. You know, you got to do your part. You got to talk to somebody, read scripture. You got to be able to open up. You know, I know it's hard, but there's hope. You know, don't lose the hope. You know, if you're going through that or dealing with that, you know, I ask you to reach out to a pastor, or not even a pastor. It could just be, you know, a coworker, a friend, but always ask for help. You know, look, remember all the good thoughts. Don't, you know, you might think this is going to be a quick fix, but when you're gone, you know, you're going to, your family's still going to be hurting. So don't do anything dumb, basically.
And when we discuss suicide, and that's a mental health issue, probably one of the severe psychoses, talking about, okay, you know, I want to end it. That is going to end it all. And in reality, like you just said, we know that suicide, it does not really end it. It makes the problem bigger because it affects people. It affects, you know, most of the people that I've counseled that have encountered you know, a loved one or a relative or a husband or a wife that committed suicide, instead of how making them, some go to the other extreme. I know a police officer, friend of ours, that his wife was diagnosed with cancer, and just one day she took his service revolver and shot herself in the head. And one of my closest friend, also being a police officer, had to go and clean the wall. The brains were on the wall. And that guy, even to this day, has been affected by that. And it's sad because he's gone to counseling, he's gone to a lot of places, and yet he still has to deal with that. So, like you were saying, Ajit, mental health, suicide is not the way out. There is therapies that help. And one of them, like I say, the reality therapy or talking to somebody. There's other types of therapy. There's even medication that can help somebody. And like I say, once again, for that person that's listening to us that maybe has thought and said, well, you know, I just can't deal with this no more. You know, a lot of times I've always said this. If you don't tell us how you feel, you don't talk to somebody about your issue, there's no way. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times, just by talking, I recall in a lot of my counseling sessions, one of the greatest things, and you mentioned prayer, and another time I want to talk about the wrong conceptions of prayer. A lot of people think that prayer is just going and kneeling down and asking God, God help me. It becomes a monologue. And you talk to yourself, but you talk to God directly, I mean, and it becomes so one way orientated that you think, you know, you tell God all your problems, you tell God all your needs. But how many of us take the time to listen in prayer or meditate on what God is telling us? And that's, this is for somebody that's done a lot of praying with no answer. And a lot of times the answer could be there sitting in that Bible that you have on your phone. It could be sitting there in the desk, and you're looking here, and you're asking, I pray about it, and the answer's not coming because you're not listening to God. The answer is there, but you're not hearing God. And this is why it's so important, G, that the young man, the young lady, the old man, or the old lady, you know, this affects every single human being. And a lot of times God, like we talked about hearing God's voice, God speaks to us in so many ways and forms. And a lot of times low self-esteem comes when you start letting yourself feel defeated. You start feeling you're not good enough, and you start comparing yourself to others. And that's the greatest defeat for a person. God made us all unique. We all have something special in us. And I think that's part of the greatest cure for mental health is when you find yourself. And you know, we have a lot of philosophy, a lot of psychology, but in the Bible, you have a lot of wisdom, total different than all the other virtues that I mentioned. And knowledge comes when you start to hear God's voice and you start to understand your place, your talent, your gift. And like I say, I have always said this with all due respect, and I take off my hat to those that God has given the talent to sing. God bless the singers, but not everybody can sing. And let's be honest, some shouldn't be singing. And I learned real quick, and you and my family know that the only place I sing is solo, and that's solo in the shower. I won't sing because I can't sing. I can't hold a tune. And I learned that real quick, even though I sang at many places, I led services, I led conventions, I led district services, I led worship services, but I'm not a singer. I'm not Michael Zwick. I'm not these other great singers. But you know, one of the greatest things I realized, that a lot of times God doesn't want everybody to be singers. And you know, your talent, you have to appreciate it. You have to be thankful for it. You know, I recall, and maybe some of you might not know this, but you know, a lot of times you could never despise or look down on somebody that you think is not at your level. You know, I recall one time visiting Santiago, Chile in South America. And as I was waiting for the brethren to pick me up, they told me to go to the park because that was the safest place to be waiting for my, the brothers were coming, they were coming, they were going to be an hour away. So the brother said, just go to the park and get your shoe shine. And I use this example because it really touched my heart to see, as I was waiting in the park, immediately a gentleman came in and said, can I shine your shoes? And, you know, naturally, you know, here in the States, you don't see that too much now. But in these, you know, other countries, it's very common practice where, you know, people will have their shoes shined. And you know, it's an irony because these people that are shining your shoes are, you know, from the lower class, or we could say probably a different type of people. So this gentleman started shining my shoes, and you know, we all, you know, we've all known what it is to buy shoe shine and polish. And but this gentleman said, do you want A, B, or C? I have three different packages. And you know, I had never heard that. I said, man, this is pretty good. And you know, different prices. Well, I said, well, give me the best. He said, well, the best, you got to take off your shoes, your socks. I said, well, wait a minute. And he says, yeah, he goes, I'm going to examine your feet. This is the shoe shine man. And he says, he bought a pan, put a pan of water. And he goes, just put your feet there while I shine your shoes. So he's shining my shoes. He's cleaning, he cleaned them up, soaped them up. And you know, my shoes were not dirty. You know, he goes, oh, your shoes are clean. But he re-dyed them, he shined them up. I mean, he did a real good job. He goes, and I'll take your feet out, let me dry them. And, you know, he dried them up. He goes, put your socks on. He goes, you're going to feel refreshed. He goes, you're going to feel good. And I said, well, does that include the shoe shine? He goes, yeah. He goes, you can have clean shoes, but ugly feet. And I realized where in the United States you find a guy that's a shoe shine and he's a foot specialist or a dietary expert. Think about that, G. This is the guy at the park shining shoes and knew everything about all the bones, the calluses. And with that being said, that man demonstrated to me. I think I paid him a couple of dollars and then I gave him a tip. But I realized that we can never underestimate the talent that God has given each and every one of us. So in coming to a conclusion now, G, what do you think we should tell those people that are dealing with mental health right now, issues?
I think just, you know, let pride go, let anything that you're dealing with, it might not be suicide, it might not be mental, you know, it might not be depression, it might be something else, but always bring it up to air, you know, you'll feel better. Like I said, talk to somebody. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It can be, you know, a friend or coworker or anybody, but let them know what you're going through. And always realize that there's hope in Jesus. You know, don't feel that you have to be stuck or whatever you've done. It's not bad enough. You know, like we said, God is here to forgive. He loves you no matter who you are, what you've done. There's no sin that's not a forgivable sin.
I think you hit it right nail on the head, because so many people walk around with guilt in their lives, produces more mental health strain. And that guilt, like low self-esteem, like any of the other mental health diagnoses, will produce in that person, like I say, that idea that you have to go to an island and die in that island, or go somewhere, lock yourself in a room, don't tell nobody about it. They're gonna laugh at you. They're not gonna understand you. And believe it or not, you know, a lot of times, you know, I tell some of the people, icons, have been there, done that. And you know, a lot of times when they tell you that, and they say, oh, pastor, you know, I have this issue, or I heard that before. Oh, you mean there's other people like me? Yes. And that's the beauty about it, that in Hebrews, the Bible says that we have a high priest. It was tempted in all aspects. He was just human, just like every single one of us. But yet, he did not have no sin. When we go to Jesus with one of our mental health issues, Jesus could tell you, I know about it. He felt forsaken on the cross. His own, one of his own closest disciples that used to dip the bread, Judas, betrayed him. He knew what betrayal was. He was considered evil when he was doing good. All the different things Jesus Christ experienced them. That's why the Bible says that he intercedes for us as a high priest that understands us. My friend, my brother, my sister, you are that are listening, that might be dealing with mental health, Jesus Christ can help you. And like G was saying, find somebody to talk to. Talk to somebody about your problem. And if you can't find, direct message us or on YouTube or one of our sites, go ahead and reach out. We're willing to discuss this with you. Post-traumatic stress, bipolar disease, schizophrenia, neurosis, psychosis. God has cured all that. Guilt, low self-esteem, whatever other diagnosis, even bipolar, multi-personality, schizophrenia. We've seen God heal so many people. So we believe that mental health can be cured by God if we give him a chance. In closing today, my brothers and my sisters, those who are listening, our topic today is mental health. And I want to say, with all due respect, don't be ashamed to tell somebody, I need to talk to you because I think and I know that I'm dealing with something that is not talked about. And when somebody comes at you like that, you right away understand that person really wants help. And sometimes some of you have been carrying this too long. It's time for you to get that off your back, get that off your chest, and talk to somebody about your mental health issues. We're going to close today. We thank you for listening to the Talks Across. We thank G for sitting in for Aaron for this week. And we ask you to pray for all the Samano family. We thank Paula that's helping us on the camera there. And Aaron is going to be editing and producing. This podcast, we're going close to our 50th episode now. And we're so happy that we have been real transparent. We've been down to earth. It's not, you know, we started with a little bit of, you know, webinar, you know, teaching, but now we're going talks. We're talking. And this is not a Bible study. It's about talking. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for those who are listening. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus that somebody that's dealing with mental health receive a beam of hope, an answer. And we ask you to bless them and help them and direct them. We ask you to continue to pray for us as we pray for you. Don't forget the Talks at the Cross, the official podcast of the Cross Point Church.